What the bleep is this?
And now, it's time for FinCast.
Boom, shakalaka.
Wide receiver and fan favorite Brian Finneran is talking Dirty Bird football. Powered by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons.
Looking for Finneran, who leaps into the air, a touchdown.
FinCast starts now.
All right, Falcons fans, another week, another win, and your Atlanta Falcons are tied for the lead of the division. Alongside the great B-Fin 86, I'm Tyler Nelson, Brian Finneran. You are tuned in to FinCast, brought to you by Scana Energy. Finn, another Falcons dub.
Really fun to watch. I mean, team plays hard. They're smart. Arthur Smith has coached them up nicely. I think only four penalties, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe even less than that. But
that's... Yeah, it was very few, and I don't think we got one until the second half.
Yep. If you don't kill yourself in football games, you got a chance to win. You take care of business against the Browns, 23-20 with 13 points in the fourth quarter. Unbelievable sack and rush by Grady Jarrett on a 2nd and 15 that sets up a 3rd and 23.
A beautiful interception.
That's right. And then where Jacoby Brissett comes in, tries to throw a deep pass on 3rd and 23, kind of a Hail Mary type situation, but not really. And D. Alford, who's been a nice little piece, number 37 for the Falcons, defensive back, makes a nice pick and seals the game. And to watch Grady run off the field and chest bump Arthur Smith, and Arthur Smith like pumping his arms and headset falling off his head, the emotion and the excitement, and to do it at home, finally, to get that win. Best start for the Falcons since 2017 at 2-2. You're pretty much a quarter through the season. You don't want to be any worse than 2-2. There's only a handful of teams that are, and you're not one of them now. And now you got a chance to go down to Tampa Bay and play for first place in the NFC South, which sounds a little bit ridiculous.
Well, before we move on to talking about what we have this week against Tampa Bay, I do want to add some overall, I think, some new revelations that I've had, and I want to know what your opinion is on this. One of which is that Marcus Mariota hates the football.
it is amazing.
But no, really. So one of the things that I noticed is how much Caleb Huntley got the ball 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in a row. Might have even been 6. And just took the team down the field. Now, whether that's Caleb Huntley is Hercules or whether they just didn't want Marcus Mariota to throw the ball, what is your takeaway with how much we're running? And I know
a little bit of both. Marcus Mariota threw another pick. He was 7 of 19 with an interception and 139 yards. You don't win very many football games when that stat line for your quarterback looks that bad.
Right.
But when you rush the ball for 202 yards, and you average 5.8 yards per carry, and the guys you talked about, Tyler Allgeier and Caleb Huntley, when they do what they did, they both touched the ball 10 times in the running game. One averaged 8.4 yards per carry. The other one's 5.6. Those guys like running the football. I saw in training camp when I was out there at Flowery Branch watching these guys play. There's a violence. There's a speed. There's a youthfulness to these two running backs that I like to see, and I think you'll start to see it, especially with Cordarrelle Patterson on IR now for 4 weeks minimum. He had a little knee procedure. He was hurt going into this game, probably made it worse, but that's what meathead football players do, guys that love playing. And I use that term endearingly when I say meathead about Patterson.
Hard
he
nose.
loves playing, hard nose, doesn't want to miss any time. You tend to hurt yourself more than you already were. So.
I can't think of a Falcons player that we had in recent memory since maybe Roddy White that I think plays that way, and you just can see how much they love playing the game on the field. But yeah, I'm going to miss Cordarrelle Patterson for sure. But I thought it was an interesting that, well, one, it was effective, right? So there's the one argument. It effectively got the team down the field and in the end zone.
You ran the ball. That's what I meant to say. After the interception, Arthur Smith is like, enough is enough. 14 straight runs for the Falcons.
Was it just we were effective at it, or is it don't trust Marcus Mariota, or both?
I think it's a little bit of both in that game, that tight of a game and that situation. You got to go with what's working, and the offensive linemen loved it. They were able to feast on guys on the defensive line for the Browns, and the Browns are missing, I think, three guys from their D-line, but I don't care. You put guys on the field, you got to try to win games, and we did, so... To be 2-2 at this point in the season is awesome. A lot of teams had, I think it was USA Today, one of their writers had a preseason record at 2-15. So from here on out, we got to go 0-13. to make that one come true. And that's not going to happen when you got teams like Carolina and New Orleans again, who I think we can take care of, and Chicago. So there's enough wins out there. Plus, I put $100 on the Falcons over 4.5, and I believe that one will come in as well.
All right. Before we get ahead of ourselves in the betting one, I had one, like I said, one last revelation I would ask you about. I thought about this over the weekend. I felt really proud of myself because then you and Joe started talking about it on the locker room this week on 680 The Fan, Monday to Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the consistent dedication when Marcus Mariota is passing the ball or not to the run-pass option and not dropping back. And this is what y'all started talking about. And when I realized what it was when I was like, that's why what has been mentally sticking in my craw about him is like there's no just
straight drop back.
Right, and of course the positive about Mariota is his athleticism. Some of the things he can do, like I fumble the ball, pick it up, run it, throw it away, and he had a great play like that again in the beginning of the game. But why is it, again, just a lack of ability? Because some of these wounded duck footballs he's throwing.
I mean, it's confidence in your quarterback. Is your quarterback having confidence in his own play? And you just don't see that yet with Marcus. No. He's fumbled a bunch. And he's good on the run. Like you said, he's a good athlete. And instead of calling it a run-pass option, it's play-action-pass,
sure,
which is what they do with that offense. They run the football as many times as they do, 30 times a game, and then that leads to the pass game because the defense and the linebackers suck up to the line of scrimmage. You should be able to hit Kyle Pitts 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times over the middle if you do it right, but they haven't been doing that right. He had another one-catch game for 25 yards or something, and that's becoming a problem for me. But it's play action pass. Of the 19 pass plays that we threw, Joe Hamilton charted it and said 16 of those were play action.
Jesus.
That means you're just not dropping back, trusting your protection and trusting your quarterback to read through his progression, let your receivers get open, whether that's a slant in an arrow route or a stick in a stick or an out and out or a curl in an out or whatever it is. You're not letting the combination routes develop. You're just going all play action pass, which is interesting. It's not going to work forever because teams are going to start seeing it.
Exactly. And so, but you hit on something that I was thinking about, or I guess realized this weekend when I was watching it too, is that when you are in the play action pass, you're not gonna be able to go through your progressions. You're not, like what we saw for years and years with Matt Ryan, is he sit, drop back, and you go through 4 or 5 of them before he passes the ball. And I'm not asking Marcus to be Matt Ryan, but if you're only going to go through 2 options,
and a lot of times, you know, in the play action, not everybody gets out on the route. The tight end can stay in and block. The running backs can stay in and block. A lot of times it's max protection. And a lot of times you're rolling to one side of the field or the other, so you're actually cutting off half the field as well.
Right.
So you're limited in what you can do unless guys come across the field and run over routes. So,
which, when we're talking earlier in FinCast this season about not seeing enough action from Kyle Pitts or even Drake London to a certain extent in his last game, that's a big factor for it.
Well, we threw the ball 19 times. He saw 4 targets, had 1 catch, Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
I think Drake London had 7. So of your 2 studs, they saw 11 of the 19 targets. I'm fine with that. You just need more production from Mariota and from those 2 players, Drake London and Kyle Pitts, in the passing game.
All right. Well, before we get into next week, let's go ahead and do some FinCash. All right, Finn, what are your games this week?
Let's make you some money. The great Gordini is going to get the week off. We had a fun little deal the last couple weeks. We'll get him back in the next couple weeks as well. I think the Packers at home are starting to feel it a little bit. The defense has been really good, only giving up 17 points a game. The offense is only getting 19. So I feel like the receivers are coming around for Aaron Rodgers. They're favored by 8 points at home against the Giants, who have been a really good football team so far. But I think it finally catches up with them on the road. The Packers are at home. 8-point favorites. I'll take the Packers -8 in my first game. I'm gonna leave the Falcons alone this week. It's a big number. It's 8.5 on the road in Tampa Bay. They played good enough to feel like they could cover a touchdown and change.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they're gonna be able to do it. The Seahawks are at the Saints. The Seahawks put up 48 points last week. The Saints are 1-3. Seahawks are 2-2. I don't know if they're gonna be able to make it happen either. I took the Green Bay Packers -8, kind of a big number against the Giants, but I'm gonna roll with it. And then I'll take the Tennessee Titans on the road with the Washington Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's 2.5-point favorite. I like the fact that you can win by field goal and still take that one. Titans got rolling last week at Derrick Henry. He looked good, got in the end zone a couple times. Jared Goff's playing some decent football. The Commanders will turn it over for you. So the Tennessee Titans -2.5 for me, and the Green Bay Packers -8. against the Giants. You got something for us, Homeschool?
Yeah, no, I was just saying, as we're scrolling through that and looking through all the games this weekend, I really like that Patriots-Lions game. Lions at the Patriots. I do not like the Lions for pretty much anything this year. So if it's only a three-point spread, I like the Patriots in the cover, too.
All right. I hope it works out for you. Mac Jones is out, by the way, I believe. We'll see if they can get it going.
I think that you could put a stick figure back there, and Bill Belichick's going to find a way to beat the Lions at home.
How dare you.
I don't love saying that.
By the way, the Lions are putting up 35 points a game, but they're giving up 35.8 points a game.
Yeah, and away, yeah, we'll see what happens in a few days. Okay, getting away from me losing money, let's talk about this matchup in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we are going to that ugly-ass pirate ship down in Tampa Bay versus Tom Brady and the not-too-far-removed Super Bowl champs. What do you got for me?
So Tampa Bay is 2-2. They're actually 0-2 at home so far this season. Tom Brady got beat up last week, got a strip sack, hurt his shoulder. He said he's going to get some TB12 gear on it and get some treatment from his own product. Of course, he never misses a chance to pump himself up and sell his own gear. Why wouldn't he? It scares me. The defense is usually really good, although Kansas City went in there and Tampa Bay's defense could not stop him. Kansas City went up and down the field time and time again and put up 41 points and probably could have had more. A couple of things didn't happen for him. So Kansas City put it on him. I don't think the Falcons can do that. Patrick Mahomes is not.
Marcus Mariota is not Patrick Mahomes.
But maybe he can run the ball a little bit. I think for the Falcons to keep this close, Mariota is going to have his best passing game of the season.
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts has to be involved. I'm talking 10 targets, 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. You got to get in the end zone. I think he has one touchdown on his career, if I'm not mistaken.
He doesn't have one this year, and he only had one last year, so yeah.
That makes sense. And then Drake London, again, has to be involved as well. So, tough matchup, on the road, in division, seems like a big number. If you put a gun to my head and I had to bet it, I'd take the Falcons +8, but I'm going to stay away from this one this week. And I think with Cordell Patterson out, you're not quite sure what's going to happen in the backfield.
That was going to be my next question. I can't imagine that Caleb Huntley is going to have a game like that again, but maybe, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully. So is that our backfield, Caleb Huntley and Tyler Algiers?
100%.
Okay.
And then he mixed in...
Avery Williams.
Avery Williams.
There was at least one run from Avery Williams, yeah.
Yep. And a nice one at that, too. So those three guys will be the guys back there, but you're exactly right. The two you mentioned in Huntley and Algier, those will be the guys that will be the bell cows.
Is Tampa Bay's running defense something we should be concerned we won't have a successful running game, or what are we looking at with that?
I mean, that's a team that's flowing around a lot throughout the course of those guys being there. They've only given up 17 points a game, which is good. And then actually running the football last week was terrible for them. They ran the ball 6 times, couldn't get out of their own way. So if you want to talk defensively for this football team so far this year, they've done a nice job limiting what teams can do against them, giving up 215 yards passing and 106 yards rushing. So they're not like they're unbeatable.
But that's fairly stout.
Yeah, but you can get after them a little bit. The leading rushing defense in the league right now is the Kansas City Chiefs, giving up 65 yards a game, and the 49ers at 73. So you're talking about, you know, more yards than that. They're right in the middle of the pack as far as defense is concerned. So
to the other side of the ball for them, Tom Brady, of course, still under center. Maybe not going through marital woes. Hopefully that's affecting him, like his shoulder. But no more Gronk for him to throw to. So what do you think we can expect from Tom Brady?
Well, Tom Brady's going to do what he does just about every week. Last week they had him throw the ball 52 times. I think he was 39 of 52. They put up 31 points. So they grinded through and tried to make it happen. That offense has not been very good so far this season. Scored 19 against Dallas, but only had one passing touchdown. Against the Saints in that one, they had one passing touchdown, a field goal, a pick six, and another field goal.
Okay.
And then that was against the Packers. They lose 14-12, and they lose to the Chiefs. So they're coming off a 2-game losing streak and giving up 41 points. So offensively, they're struggling. Julio Jones banged up.
Oh, my God, I forgot. Julio's on the fucking Buccaneers.
Chris Godwin is still there, banged up as well. Mike Evans is the only guy. Cameron Brate just got a concussion.
I did not know
tight
that.
End,
wow.
So he could be out. So the more you think about it and dive into it, I wouldn't expect this number to drop later in the week to closer to 6 or 7. Maybe you should jump on it now if you want to get the Falcons +8.
All right, well, what do you think happens? I mean, I know what we hope happens.
I hope we win. What I think will happen, I think we lose a close one down there. Tough place to play. Yeah. Crowd will be into it. They've lost 2 in a row. I don't think you can go back in Tom Brady's career and find a time where he's lost three games in a row.
Yeah, at home, right.
That's, anywhere.
Oh, really?
I'm telling you. We'll know after this weekend because it'll be out there. If the Falcons take care of business on Sunday at 1 o'clock, that'll be three games in a row Tom Brady loses. And like you said, three at home. That is very un-Tom Brady-like. And
well, it is the end of his career. And, we've talked about earlier in the season, the podcast is, I think one of the defining characteristics of this Falcons team is resiliency. And like you were talking about earlier, that Arthur Smith and Grady Jarrett chest bumping after, there's an energy in a youthless team, and there's certainly a zeal that I think you see this team has just for playing the game, that hopefully that shows itself on the field and take the momentum, right?
Let's hope so, man.
All right, well, let's hope for a Falcons win, see what happens, and we will see you next week on FinCast. Thank you for tuning in to FinCast, brought to you by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons. FinCast is hosted by Brian Finneran, co-hosted and executive produced by Tyler Nelson. If you'd like to reach out to the show, email Tyler at tyler@680thefan.com. FinCast is hosted by 680 The Fan on thepodcastpark.com and is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Opening and closing music by Atlanta band Gringo Star and their song I Will Not Follow. Thanks for tuning in to FinCast. We'll see you next week.
Son of a bitch.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.